Our topic today is captioned, Nurture Your Marriage. In Ephesians 5:29, the scripture says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." Marriage is a unique relationship ordained by God for a man and a woman to give and receive satisfaction of their healthy needs and desires. It is an intimate relationship designed by God to last a lifetime. But it's important to understand that getting married is not an end in itself, but it can be likened to the birth of a new baby, a new life, a new experience, a new journey, a new adventure. When a new baby is born, you don't just leave that baby like that. The baby becomes a responsibility that you have to nurture and cater for and care for before that baby can grow into an adult. So just like the birth of a new life, your marriage requires constant nurture, care, and attention for it to grow, flourish, blossom, and succeed. Whatever is not nurtured will be malnourished and will eventually die. Marriage needs care from both husband and wife for it to succeed. So it's a mutual responsibility. My husband, Bishop David Oyedepo, says often that responsibility is the prize for greatness. You want a great marriage, then you must be ready to accept responsibility. What does it mean to nurture? To nurture means to nourish, according to Ephesians 5:29. We read it just a while ago. To promote the growth of something. It means to further the development of something, to flourish and to sustain with nutrients. To nourish means to take care of, to feed, to protect. And whatever you nurture, of course, is a known fact, it will grow and flourish. It's the same thing with marriage. Why is it important to nourish your marriage? Listen very carefully. Your kids will grow up and go off. This truth came real to me when our first son left home for college. It dawned on me that really, he is grown up, he is gone off to college, and he's gone. And it occurred to me the same thing will happen to the others. Therefore, if you don't have that relationship with your spouse, when your children grow up and they go off, you have nothing left. For your marriage to succeed, you and your spouse need to nurture it intentionally. And that is what keeps you together over the years. To nurture your marriage, what must you do? Very important key I want to leave with you today. To nurture your marriage, don't take your spouse for granted. One of the things that destroys great marriages is to take each other for granted. As a couple, it is very easy to get so caught up in the familiar and forget to value your spouse. You can get too used to your spouse performing his or her role that it eventually feels like a norm or a duty. When two people are in courtship, they make all the right moves, say the right things, and appreciate each other, exchange gifts, show kind gestures, and they try to be the perfect gentleman and lady. Some people even tend to neglect those things that sparked off and made their relationship blossom into marriage. Expressions such as thank you, sorry, I love you, well done, and words of admiration that used to be in abundant supply before marriage often become scarce in the home. Dates and days that used to be easily remembered are now easily forgotten. This ought not to be so. What does it mean to take your spouse for granted? To take advantage of him or her, show no appreciation, to undervalue your spouse, to not consider your spouse's feeling because you believe he or she will always be available or stay exactly the same way. to give little attention to or to undermine the value of your spouse, not being appreciative, not making their needs your priority, being lackadaisical towards each other. Familiarity, it is said, breeds contempt. And many times, spouses take each other for granted, not intentionally. Therefore, you must ensure that you consciously and continuously regard, prefer, esteem, and honor your spouse. Please understand that every good relationship is intentional. And especially for believers, many people just take that advantage, thinking, oh, well, I'm already married. He or she cannot divorce me. We have to live together the rest of our lives, whether things are working or not. And because of that, they keep taking advantage of each other. This ought not to be so. Look at some of the effects of you taking your spouse for granted. One, you open the door to intruders. Taking advantage of your spouse creates cracks in the wall of your marriage. And when there is a crack, it gives room to intruders, which might be harmful to your relationship. So take caution. Number two, you grow apart when you take advantage of your spouse. Taking advantage of your spouse or taking your spouse for granted can lead to resentment, which can put your spouse further away from you. It can also weaken the bond between you and your spouse. Number three, if you take your spouse for granted, trust will diminish. Taking your spouse for granted makes the other feel unloved, because of course you cannot trust whom you don't love. And number four, it breeds insecurity. If you take your spouse for granted, insecurity will come in, and the insecurities people feel in marriage can be eliminated if spouse hold each other in high esteem. Therefore, I admonish you today, look at these disadvantages and give no room to the devil. Not to take your spouse for granted, consider the following, and I believe this will be very, very helpful for you. Number one, prioritize your spouse. Some people allow their jobs, profession, leisure, hobbies, friends, extended family members, house chores, and even children take priority to their relationship they have with their spouse. Someone has said, and I believe this is very true, if people put as much work into their marriage as they will have to put into a divorce, more people will be happily married. Trivializing your spouse can have a serious negative effect on your marriage, family, and home. I have come to discover that if you deliberately, after God, make your spouse your priority, you push the enemy away from your territory. Just as you continue to build your relationship with God through constant word study, prayer, kingdom service, obedience, etc., so that you can remain connected to God, it's in the same vein you should continually nourish and take care of your relationship with your spouse. Don't evaluate your relationship based on how it benefits you alone or your expectations from your spouse. Never take what your spouse does for you or the family as a duty he or she must fulfill. Instead, see it as a kind gesture. Stay closely connected so that you can keep the fire of your union alive and burning. If you keep the fire lit in your marriage, your life will be filled with warmth. Pay close attention to his or her needs, both spiritual, physical, and emotional. Create new and exciting ways to spice up the romance and intimacy in your marriage. Be focused on bringing out the best in your spouse. Seek ways to encourage, edify, and support your spouse to grow in every way. And very importantly, you must avoid assumption My husband says often that assumption is the mother of frustration. Therefore, offer to do nice things for your spouse. Little acts of kindness, a glass of cold water, helping to move one item from one place to another. These things look very, very little, but they are very, very important. Say the right words at the right time. Compliment, appreciate, learn each other's love language and explore on it. Spend quality time together. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 8, Isaac and Rebekah spent quality time together. For your spouse to perform maximally, you should learn to pray for and with him or her as well as your marriage. This is very, very important. I have come to discover that prayer is one of the greatest weapons with which you nurture and sustain your marriage. James 5:16b says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues, because as you do so for your spouse and for the members of your family, you are ensuring that they are walking in the perfect will of God for their lives. This is one thing I do personally, a great deal. I make time to pray for all of my children, mentioning their names and my grandchildren. Pray for my husband as often as possible. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it even gives you greater result. Also, learn to resolve issues amicably in love and in the fear of God. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. This is crucial. Number two, not to take your spouse for granted, perform acts of service together. Doing things together with your spouse nurture your marriage and keeps your relationship stronger. Clearly, doing things together gives you more time together. Find a common ground and explore it. Working together as a team helps deepen the bond with your spouse. Support each other's vision, call, and assignment. Make your spouse your closest friend and partner in deed and in truth. The greatest service we can do together is to serve God and the interests of His kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18 served God together, and there was no mention of one of them in the Bible without the other. Abraham and Sarah were also united in their service to God, which makes for their success. And then the prophecy of Isaac came forth through service. Genesis 18. Some of these acts of service to consider might include the following: reaching out to the less privileged, showing hospitality and generosity, open your home to friends, family, and those in need, reach out to widows, orphans, give materially and financially to someone who needs it, go out and talk to others about Jesus Christ and your faith, go out for soul winning and bring souls into the kingdom of God. When we do good for others, you benefit from it, both now and in the future. It is fulfilling to reach out to others, but it is also nurturing your marriage and deepening your bonds. And I can tell you this, I am a living proof. All of these things are the things that we get involved in my own marriage, in my own family. My husband and I get involved as much as God gives us the grace and the opportunity to reach out to others. And when things like this are done, it helps us to get closer to each other. By the grace of God, many people have gone through our home, have lived under our roof, and they are all great men and women today in their various endeavors in life. That brings joy and things that money cannot buy, and at the same time, keeps the family together. Finally, number three, help each other to be physically attractive. As you grow older, you remember, it's very important that there will be physical changes in appearance and in your body features. Wife, listen, your husband might not be as handsome as before, but he's another woman's prayer point. Husband, your wife might not be well-shaped as before, but she is another man's prayer point. So rather than criticizing or downplaying on your spouse, learn to encourage and help each other to look more attractive. I've come to discover that marriages where couples support each other are often stronger. So encourage each other to take care of yourselves. This is very, very important. Mind what you eat. Psalms 103 verse 5 makes it very clear. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Remember the popular saying, you are what you eat. To stay healthy, you have to eat healthy. Of course, again, exercise. You can go together to the gym or take a walk. 1 Timothy 4:8 says very clearly, bodily exercise profited little. So you can get the little profit that is in it. And of course, dress appropriately. Wear clothes that fit your body makeup. Wear clothes that your spouse will like to see on you. Remember, every good marriage is intentional. So you need time and attention to keep your marriage strong. Encourage your spouse to be his or her best, spirit, soul, and body. These are the things that we do in our own marriage. Both my husband and I are very careful and mindful of the things that we eat. We make time to ensure that we keep fit physically, because this body is God's temple and you have to treat it in a manner that will be glorifying to God. In conclusion, remember, the grass is not always greener on the other side. It is greener where you water it. So water your marriage and then it will remain green. Your marriage, like a new baby, needs attention, care, and constant nourishment for it to grow and flourish into the Garden of Eden that God has destined it to be. So nurturing your marriage is a mutual responsibility. Right now, receive grace in the name of Jesus Christ to play your own part. And every marriage that might be under tension right now, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that peace becomes your portion. Every troubled home, I decree and declare the peace of God right now in Jesus' name. If you are single and you are listening to this broadcast today, grace to be able to put to work the things that you have heard, receive it in Jesus' name. I pray that your testimony shall be stronger in Jesus' name. Finally, are you born again? Until you are born again, these things may not really work in your marriage nor in your life. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ? Pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Say after me, oh God, I'm a sinner. Today, I confess my sins. Jesus, save me. I am born again from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer from your heart, I congratulate you. I want you to log on to the web address at the bottom of your screen and fill the salvation form. And as you do so, your testimony shall be stronger. Send your testimonies via this medium and connect to the social media handles at the bottom of your screen. And always remember, God is too faithful to fail. Bye.